Hello and welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay's podcast series. I'm Lee Burns, head of school, and today we have an entertaining interview with one of our most storied and colorful faculty members, Coach Gordon Connell, and his famous, or rather should I say infamous, bear story. If you're an alum from the past 40 years, you've probably heard the story, probably more than once, probably many times, about how Coach Connell wrestled a bear in the 1970s before he joined the Macaulay faculty. Now, we at Macaulay don't condone bear wrestling. In fact, we're glad animal rights advocates nationally have been successful in banning such events. But Gordon's story and all its embellishments is so entertaining and is such a part of Macaulay students' experience, especially day students had science classes taught by Gordon in the middle school, that we want to share it. Recently, I was eating lunch in the dining hall with Gordon, and he was once again telling that bear story with all of its embellishments. And myself and others, we were laughing so hard at it. And I said to him, Gordon, we need to do a podcast with you telling this bear story for the broader Macaulay community. So Kenny Scholl, Executive Director of Athletics and Special Assistant to the Head of School, conducted the interview. And I couldn't help myself, but I barged in the middle of the recording to give Gordon some good-humored ribbing. Hope you enjoy this edition of Stories from the Ridge, The Coach and the Bear.
Welcome to the Ridge, everyone, to what may be one of our most unique and talked about podcasts in quite some time. I am here today with my good friend and colleague, Gordon Connell. And I must say that in all the years I've been at Macaulay School, and I think I can say this without being challenged, no one has more stories told about Gordon than anyone I've ever met and known on the faculty.
Certainly by you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yes, part of that is my furthering these stories, and as Gordon will say, and often reminding me that I embellish them quite often.
The master embellisher.
Well, wait till you hear his story, then you can make that decision. But Gordon's here today to tell a story that many of you have heard before, particularly if you were in his eighth grade science class. He used this story as kind of a motivator all year to get his students to do the right thing. And it involves our own Coach Connell wrestling a bear. So without further ado, I'll let Coach tell his version of the story, and I may call him out a few times if he is, in fact, embellishing. So, Coach, welcome to the podcast. It's good to be with you always. And tell us about wrestling that bear.
You know, it's interesting. I never recorded, so it's good that I have a recording of it later. You know, it's interesting. When all the years I taught, I would wait till the last day, and I kept reminding the students all year long, I'm going to show the bear tape at the end. And they were all anticipating, you know, a funny scene or whatever. But to make it worthwhile, it was only 30 seconds long, the match. And so I had to have a story behind it. And so let me start at the beginning. I had just gotten hired by MTSU to be their wrestling coach. This is in 1974, and right before school started, we were up in DeRosset or Sparta, Tennessee. There was a state fair. Now, state fair is not like it's actually a county fair. It's not like a state fair. You got Aunt Mabel's prize pickles or something like that as a real feature item. But as I walked through the end, I saw at the very end of it, there was a tent. I heard all this commotion. I saw a sign that said, pin the bear. It was hand-scrawled. Pin the bear and win $100. I said, what? And I thought this was beneath me, but I did open up the flap. I looked inside. I saw a blur of fur and some guys with snaggled tooth, rolled up sleeves, tattoos. And I thought, I'm not doing this. So on the way home, though, I started thinking, what a cool thing. I mean, you're a wrestling coach. What would it be like to do it? I don't know why I thought that. But anyway, the next spring, one of my wrestlers comes in. He holds up the Nashville, Tennessee, and, Coach, look. And so you had this guy and his wrestling bear coming to Nashville at the annual boat show, and it was going to be an intermission feature. So I thought, okay, let's do this. I called them up. They said, well, it's a first come, first serve. You can't just sign right. You got to be there. So I showed up nose to the glass. I was ready. At 6 o'clock, I was the first guy in the whole building. And there was no sign, though, you know, for the bear. So I went, they said, go back that way. I went back there. And then I just saw this very tiny trailer with a picnic table and this bear hooked up to it, chain bear, 6 feet chain. That bear looked like, shoot me, man. She was so boring. So I'm where is everybody? Where's anybody? And I yelled out to the trailer, hey, is anybody here? A few moments later, this guy comes to the door. He's staggering. He's like, you here to wrestle a bear? I'm thinking, this can't be. This guy's drunk. And he had a bottle of Old Crow in one hand. He's holding onto the doorpost. And he goes back, just a minute. He comes back out on that picnic table. He sprawls out about 6 sheets of paper, and I got to sign them all.
The waivers.
I didn't know what I was. I said, what's this? It's, oh, you can't sue me. You can't sue the proprietor and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, this bear is, it's muzzled. It's got a, you know, a chain. And so I'm thinking, and declawed, by the way. I got to mention that.
I ask you that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, it's a trained bear. What can he do? But to sign this thing, what if he just comes up and bear hugs me, squeezes my guts or something? So I went ahead and signed it, and I was the only guy there. And I left, and I wondered to myself, what are you doing? You know, but I'd committed now. So I'm employed at the school. What if somebody sees me there, you know?
I was going to ask you if you had to get permission from MTSU.
No, I didn't even bother. But I did go to the athletic office, and I borrowed their camera, Super 8 millimeter. This is talking old school film.
Yeah.
Same camera they used on the Zapruder tape. So anyway, I'm going, and I'm walking, and come backstage half hour before the show. And at 6 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, I was supposed to show up. So I'm wondering the whole time, what am I doing? And join my wife and father-in-law. And then all of a sudden, over the loudspeaker, this guy says, all the volunteers to wrestle a bear, come backstage. Well, I didn't know who the other guys were, but I showed up. There's five of us, all right? Two guys, young guys, looked like they'd staggered out of a bar across the street, and they were mumbling, I'm going to get me some bear meat, you know, and I mean, idiots, you know, I mean, they were clearly inebriated. And then I saw the other guy, huge guy. I mean, his arms folded and like he'd whipped everybody in the hills of Kentucky, and he's ready to take on the animal kingdom. So he's there. But then the other guy was scary. He looked like he was straight out of Looney Tunes. His eyeballs would oscillate independently. He'd run his fingers through his hair, and he was like on repeat. He was saying the same thing, mumbling to the big guy who just ignored him. So finally, after we were there early to tell us what not to do or what to do, don't pull on the muzzle, don't whatever, and to get the order of who's going to go. So I got a little closer, and this guy's telling the big guy, I've been wrestling this bear for 5 weeks. They train these bears in Cherokee, North Carolina. So it'd been out west, and it had been in Fort Smith or Little Rock, Fort Smith, Memphis, and now Nashville. They're going to hit Knoxville the next week. But he always did it on a Monday because nobody was volunteering. So he showed up. So he's there, on the bear. He would run his fingers through his hair, and then his eyes would roll, and I want the bear. So I'm thinking, this is weird. And then there's me. Well, the two young guns went first. They wanted to get it on. So, and I went third. Looney Tunes went fourth. And the big guy, he went last because that's what he wanted. So the first guy gets up there, and the bear mumbles something to him, and he charges the bear fearlessly, but he's an idiot. He tries to headlock this 600-pound bear. He's on his back in 2 seconds. You know, it's over.
So you weren't giving these guys any instruction as a wrestling coach.
No, I didn't know what this bear did. I let them go first so I could see what to expect. Well, I hadn't learned a thing. You know, and the second guy, I'll get him, Johnny, I'll get him. So he gets up there. The second guy's stupider. I know that's not correct English. Than the first guy. He tries to bear hug a bear. So he's on his back in 1 second. I mean, and you couldn't even see him because he was smothered by the bear. And I'm thinking, I'm next. I hadn't learned a thing. And the referee was saying something to him each time, but he didn't need to say anything because they charged the bear. So I'm up next thinking, okay, here we go. And it was almost like an out-of-body experience where everything got in slow motion. You know, one of two things happened to you in a moment like that. Either everything's a fog or the senses are so keen, you pick up everything.
So you were in the zone for
I was. And so I get up there, and the guy says, you've got to go into the bathroom. Well, he drank the other half of that. I'm thinking, his breath stinks. You've got to go into the bear. So I'm ready. And he pushes me. I didn't see that with the first two guys. He pushes me into the bear, and the bear's already on my leg now. And I recoil, and I just went instinctively. I was wrestling at the time. So I did a move where I kicked out and got free. And the MC, a guy named Lashley, you were there you were, I think, a freshman at Vanderbilt. And Lashley, one of the sports broadcasters, this guy looks like he knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember the guy.
I mean, I heard that. I mean, how could you hear that in the middle of the competition? So we're pulled apart. The referee grabs my shoulder. I had a flannel shirt and grabs the bear and pulls us together. Now we're toe-to-toe on him. He's on his hind legs. I'm kind of comfortable here. And it dawned on me, hey, this bear is four-legged. It's not two-legged. I'm going to circle. He's going to sit on his butt. I'm going to run him to his back. And that's what I did. I circled. Bear goes to his on his butt, and I got him. And I ran it to his – but I miscalculated. The anatomy of a bear is like a banana. It's not like a human.
Curved so just, back, was it?
Yeah, it just rolled up. And I should have gotten to the side, but I straddled him. So I went flying over the top of the bear out of bounds. The owner then says, you're off the mat, you lose. So that was it. You know, 30 seconds and it was done. But
your mind, you won the match.
I put him on his back. But, just barely.
Yeah.
But to show it to the class, because it was so quick, I put it in slow motion.
Of course.
You know, a mistake I made, though, is I put a soundtrack on there that was played at my mother-in-law's funeral. So it didn't really fit
I don't even know what to say. I don't know where to put that one.
But I don't know why I did that. But anyway.
So you...
Yeah, did it. That was all I said.
Well,
I did
yeah. That. But you... So as I remember, though, you... By the time my boys got to your class, I think they were you had either converted to VHS because you'd about worn out the tape. Tell us about how you preserve this thing over time.
Oh well, you know, the first few times I showed it, I might have done this with Lee when he was a student, our headmaster, and so yeah, it would hang up on the old teeth would hang up on the sprocket of the teeth of the film. And it, when it did that, it would stop, and then it would burn. Yeah. I mean, it just, and so you couldn't see anything. I thought, this is not good. I got to do something about this, or I can't show the film. Well, VHS was now out, yeah. So I converted it, showed it on a film. I filmed the footage, and so I had it on VHS. And then later, when DVD came along, I've now got it on DVD. So it's...
When's the last time you showed it to
I showed it... 1970, I did my last clinic. I wanted to wait until I was 70.
So not in 1970 when you were 70.
No, I'm sorry. I was 70 yeah. when I did it. So yeah. that would have been in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you show this at wrestling clinics?
Oh, I did. All the last day. It was always the last day. Got to keep that anticipation.
Yeah.
And you know, that story, I didn't tell it. I didn't elaborate like I tend to because I don't know really how much of it's true. Or false. I mean, the part where the wrestling part is absolutely true because I watched it, you know. But it's and what's weird is I'll see students, you know, I've been here 44 years now, and they'll come up, you're still showing that bear tape, you know. They remember that before they do their.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the nature of the nature of things around here. But you went, tell us about, you went back, didn't you? Then you go back to
when
for,
I can't,
for a
yeah.
rematch?
Yeah, in 1988, this is 13 years after I did, because that was in 75. So in 88, you got a lot, the equipment's much better. Yeah. I can get sound now. I don't have to put a soundtrack on it. So I decided the Town and Country Honky Tonk Club on Lee Highway in 1988, this same owner, and his bear, bigger bear though, is coming to Chattanooga, and they're saying, okay, we need volunteers. So I said, hey, I'm doing this. So I want better footage. I want to hear reaction, and I think I can pin him this time. So I mean, it was kind of stupid. I show up, Bill Cherry's there. The mother of one of my wrestlers is there. They're all anticipating some action. So I get there, and then all of a sudden the guys tell me, I'm sorry, we can't let you do it. We only let the local patrons do it. I said, would you at least let me film it? Well, when I got in there and filmed it, they're on the dance floor, which is concrete. This bear is much meaner than the one I competed with. I mean, it beat the crap out of these guys. Their heads bouncing off the concrete. They're shaking their head. I mean, one guy, they had to help him up and get out. But anyway, I got it, and it was, with the sound effects, you can hear the growling and stuff. It was kind of cool.
So. Do you show that tape as well?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I mean, it makes mine at least worth showing, you know. I mean, hey, I got a longer version of the bear wrestling here, so you can see what they can really do.
So how long did you figure you were actually in the ring with the bear the first time? How many seconds would that be? 15? 30?
Probably, yeah, 30.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect.
I bet you didn't.
I mean,
what do you figure the thing weighed?
That one was 600 pounds. The other one was 900. It had one eye.
Wait. Here's a, you may be your third opportunity. Here comes a bear in here.
Who would even do that?
Who do you think?
Who is that?
Folks, we've got some guy in here with a costume on. he's getting the upper hand on.
I don't believe
it.
No. Don't headlock. I'm going to headlock you here. Don't put a bear
in there. There's got to be a name to that move he just had right there. Well, it's Lee Burns.
He had me coiled in fear. I'm sorry.
Lee, you missed the story, which I thought would be longer. We didn't get much embellishment, but I would expect that you have seen this video and can verify this and know about it for sure.
Yes, as an eighth grade student in Gordon's science class, just about every single day, maybe every day, Gordon would promise that we would get to watch the film of him wrestling the bear, and but he held it out to the end of the year, and every day I think Bill Bennett in particular would say, Coach, when are we going to watch that? Can we watch that bear film today? He's like, well, not today, but later on. And so he built that thing up every day of the year, and then finally we got to see it the very end.
He didn't get to see the other one because that was next year.
Did it?
But I actually attempted to upgrade it by wrestling with VHS camera, but
did it live up to the billing that we've always heard about?
Well,
the
quality of the film itself wasn't that great, I would say. And Gordon is such a great storyteller and maybe embellisher that it had been built up so much in our minds. It'd be hard to live up to the hype.
Yeah,
but it really was something. It's very impressive. It's part of the Macaulay folklore.
I had to tell the story or it wouldn't have, I mean, you guys would have been booing. It's so short, but it was fun and, you know, for all those years.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I'll let you get back to telling the story, but I just wanted to drop in and say hi and just get to hear a little bit about this story again, because I always love hearing this story.
Well, Gordon, I can attest to two things. One, when he saw you step in the door, he was fearful. He was having flashbacks, as he would say.
Was.
And then the other is, thank you for verifying that this actually was shown in class.
And I did come in here dressed in sort of a little bit of a bear costume.
Exactly.
The bear growl. All right. Y'all get back to the podcast.
Good seeing you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you for that moment.
You know, I got to tell you, nothing compares with the bear story, but I did when I was coaching prior to coming to Macaulay, participate in a donkey basketball game. And it's probably the same people. They're probably all related who do this kind of thing. But this was, you know, where you five people, they would donkeys run up and down a basketball court. But the reason I'm bringing it up is I had to sign the same waivers. And I must tell you
knew that when I said,
oh, there's no doubt
about the waivers.
Yeah, you sign your life away. And I will not go into detail, but I got injured pretty badly, and missed a week of school because the donkey I had was a kicker, and he got me good. He got me good. So I never went back to the animal thing again. And so the fact that you would go back and try again after your first experience certainly attests to your fortitude.
Had I known he was as big as he was, though, you know, what's interesting, it was the same owner.
Yeah.
He'd gained about 100 pounds, though. He would
be he a, had gained 100
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, he would.
And always, had a bigger bear.
And had a Speedo. He was always in a Speedo. So that was kind of gross to look at, but... yeah, he had to pull the bear off those three guys. He had to pull it off. I mean, with us, it was, you know. But, yeah, those are fond memories.
So, Gordon, obviously you've shown this to your classes over the years. But I guess I'm wondering now, is there any technical value to this to this bout with this bear that how did you ever use it with your teams? And by the way, folks, as you all know, coach's his record speaks for itself, both as you know for the teams and the individuals that he coached the state championship. So tell us about that bear video and how that helped you with your coaching.
You may not believe this, I never showed it to the team and as a team. Because I had them all in class. They'd already seen it. So I didn't, you know, I didn't have to, but, and they would help me a lot of times in clinics. So they'd say, Michael Hooker, I hope he hears this. He can tell this story better than me. He heard it so many times that he would come in and we were in harmony at the last one. It was at Father Ryan. And I'd love for Michael to. I'd like to get his take on this, if you
yeah,
ask Mike.
Yeah, Hooker. Yeah, Hooker. Hooker had you nailed.
Yeah, he mimicked
could,
me.
He could. He was a better you than you are. I'll tell you
what
this.
I'm saying about the story. The same way.
And the voice and the inflection too. And you know, I've heard Lee tell it. Your son Lee tell it, and he tells it pretty well too. And he's got your same voice, so I can visualize it pretty well with him too.
Yeah. You know, it's. I kind of wish, though, that there was something else other than the bear tape that I'm remembered for by my ex-students, but well, it is what it is.
Well, yeah, but I think that's part of Macaulay.
That's a novelty. You know?
This is a place about stories, you know, it really is, and there's all kinds of them, and this one has always created this aura about you. I mean, here's a guy who wrestled a bear and probably won and lost on a technicality. But you know, also that, as I said before, the boys who are in your class has also got some real, I mean, hands-on learning and some things that I know my two sons took away from your class. And so, Coach, I tell you, you know, I've always admired you for, you know, your relationship with the boys and your focus and getting the most out of them. But also, I have to say, and I think the bear story bears it out. Ooh,
good.
How about that? That was pretty good there. That was right out of your book.
It was.
Well, the bear story
I'm
bears it
as they say inside.
That's right. The bear story does reflect the fact that you are an unbelievable competitor and one of the most fearless guys I've ever known. So I want you to at least take that away from the debacle of the or seeming debacle of the bear story.
You know, it was funny. I told you I was concerned about at the tent. There might have been 50 people total. We were at the municipal auditorium. This was a big place. There were over 1,000 people there, and they were asked to go up to the stands when they shut the lights off, and we did this under a spotlight. And I'm thinking, oh, somebody out there is probably from. Sure enough, 2 days later, somebody saw me and said, yeah, was that you? I saw him. And I said, please don't hold that against me.
But, yeah. Well, so, I skipped over it, but I will say that your decision to wear a flannel shirt is pretty interesting too. So you didn't go out there in a singlet.
No, that would have been to put me in the funny house.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. One thing we should mention in this podcast is that, you know, you're a national champion. And what age group was that? Remind us of that. I mean, a world champion, actually.
Yeah, well, in 2001, I went to the national. Like, yeah. Mike Newman went with me. He was my corner coach. And so I won that tournament. It was 51 to 55, and I was 53, and I won that. But I got hurt. But then I thought, okay, what's the next thing? It's the Worlds, and a national coach said, if you're going to do that, you better train. You better train a lot harder than you did for this thing. And I took his advice. I mean, in wrestling, you almost have to be selfish sometimes when you're really training for that ultimate prize. And so I really just, for 2 years, and I healed up. I was going to enter the Worlds at 56 and older. Well, you got to be on the young end for any advantage you've got. As it turned out, all three of us that placed were 56. Yeah. So, yeah, and it was a tough tournament. I mean, I had the defending champion right off the bat. So, and then I had a Russian in the finals that won it 4 or 5 times later. And so it was, you know, the tougher the competition, the more worthy your victory and I always felt good about that.
Well, and I certainly don't want to make light of that, but I do have to ask you, is there a 56 and older bear competition that you're aware of anywhere that you could go for the third rematch?
I've come to my senses. That thing in 88 was I had a mental relapse or lapse, and I don't pursue bear anymore. You know, here's an interesting thing. They trained them in North Carolina. Now, who is it, PETA or whoever? They've outlawed cruelty to animals.
Yeah.
So nobody will ever do that again.
Yeah.
At least, you know, unless they're in the wild. And it's funny, I get tapes from Russia where they're wrestling bears out in the woods. So it's
not sure. So, you know, I hope you won't do that.
No, not hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely not. Well, Coach, you have as always not disappointed. And folks, I can attest that they're. It's very little embellishment, as Gordon likes to say here. This has been, and I must say too that this is. I don't know how much Mr. Stevenson will edit this, but this is pretty much the way it goes at lunchtime right here. And so I hope you enjoy it, Gordon. Thank you so much for telling the story again. I've heard it a few times, seen the video, and it never gets old. And so, as always, go blue.
It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you so much, buddy.
It's been fun. Thanks for asking.
Take care.